There's one thing the COVID pandemic has showed us throughout 2020 and 2021, and that is how quickly your freedoms can be taken from you, and how quickly a free country can turn into a tyrannical state. Canada is one of these nations where their prime minister has taken extraordinary measures in a short amount of time. Canadians who refused to be injected with an experimental drug lost their jobs, their livelihoods, their freedom of speech, and their freedom of movement. It was a historical moment when people from across the nation met up in Ottawa to embrace each other and protest against Justin Trudeau's tyrannical impact. And we remember the joy, but we also remember the ugliness, the brutality inflicted upon peaceful protesters who simply wanted to speak to their leader, and when Trudeau enforced the Emergency Act upon his citizens, a law meant for invasion and terror attacks. With this, he declared war on what he called a small fringe minority. But in fact, he declared war upon his people, freedom-loving Canadians who want Canada to remain a nation of freedom. We remember how Canadians stood together, protected each other, and fought back. They still fight to this day to have their lives back. So we are honored to welcome Kristen Nagel from the Canadian Frontline Nurses. Welcome, Kristen.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So you have quite a story. You chose to courageously and boldly stand up and speak out publicly against the unethical and unscientific and non-evidence-based public health measures, the restriction and the mandates that were implemented in your country. And for this, you faced 3 investigations, is that correct?
From my regulatory body of College of Nurses of Ontario, yes, we're under 3 separate investigations.
You were also used as an example for students at nursing school, is that correct?
My Sarah Shajunian, who is the co-founder also of Canadian Frontline Nurses, her and I went to Washington, D.C. to speak on a health and freedom stage with, well-renowned speakers such as Del Bigtree of The High Wire, Mickey Willis of Pandemic, Dr. David Martin. And because it fell on January 6th, when we flew home, we were deemed domestic terrorists, where the RCMP showed up at our house to figure out our involvement of the storming and rioting of the Capitol. So nursing schools and health-focused schools still teach about what not to do and use my name as an example of what not to do, and then also to use me as an example of a conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm.
So what not to do is to believe in conspiracy theories and speak up on what you think is wrong. Is that right?
Pretty much. Yeah. About going against the narrative. Yeah. Not exactly. Falling in line.
So can you please share with us how this all started for you?
Yeah. It started really before all this, when my sons were born. They are now 7 and 4. And I started being very concerned about what they were eating. And I started diving into food, and that led me to the corruption of food, which then, you enter one door and we all end up kind of in the same place, but it just kept going. So I went to school to become a holistic nutritionist. And from there, I wanted to study more about actual health, well-being, healing, all the things that were not taught in nursing school. And it led me to learning more about immunizations. So I started speaking out prior to all of this about childhood immunizations, which already got me in trouble with my regulatory body and kind of, put a flag about, because those are topics you're not allowed to discuss. And when 2020 kind of rolled around, I knew that it was going to be used to mass vaccinate or inject adults. And then I started speaking out about the harms I was seeing of the lockdowns in Canada, the mask wearing that we know was not effective or, being done properly, and what was happening to the children with school closures, all their programs shut down, not being able to see their friends, being told that they were walking diseases that could kill grandma. I mean, their parks were closed with yellow tape. So I started just speaking out about the harms we were seeing in our community, and that got me suspended, eventually terminated from my position at work and yes, placed under three separate investigations with my regulatory body, where they're still trying to take my license away from me. And I continued to speak up throughout 2021 and with Canadian Frontline Nurses, and I received 11 different summons to go to court for going against the Reopening Act of Ontario, which is the province I'm in Canada.
So you still have your license? They haven't revoked it?
I still currently have my license, yes.
Mm-hmm. But you're not allowed to work?
I'm basically unemployable at this point in that
yeah.
field.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. So these court proceedings that you were called into, these 11, why on what grounds did they call you into them?
So they were, thank goodness, five of them have been dropped. Six of them are still going to trial. One already has gone through where I did receive a conviction. But it was at the time we had what was called the Reopening Act of Ontario. And it was supposed to be the strategic plan of, you know, how to open up after lockdowns. And, you know, it was like only 10 people are allowed inside of the building at one time. Only, you know, 50 people can gather outside at a park, or, you know, you can go here if it's, you know, in this restaurant, if you're outside on a patio. Like, I don't know. I think most countries have these ridiculous rules as well that don't make any sense. And we just, you know, called out the nonsense and just continued to live life, continued to meet indoors, continued to, you know, speak out in public, to gather, to, you know, be around loved ones and friends and to live our lives. And that is the crime of just continuing to live our lives.
Wow. Yeah, you had some very strict rules put in place in your country. And fortunately, we didn't yes. have that strict of rules here in Norway, but we've been keeping a close eye on Canada and Australia as well. So in Australia, the police has put charges to rest. Quietly, they've started to put charges to rest. Like a lot of anti-lockdown protesters and other people, they just drop the charges basically without saying anything. So do you see the same thing happening in Canada?
Some are being dropped. Others, like myself and a few others, are being used as an example. So they're still carrying through with some of the charges. I think just to let people know, they're just trying to punish the public figures, the people that were out in the media and very outspoken, to set that example of, you know, stay in line, don't speak out, you know, do the right thing of following orders and complying. So there's still a few of us that they are continuing to punish and set a, use as an example.
Right. So, let's get down to the horrific, like, not that everything else that you've told us isn't horrific, but there's one thing that you did that you've been fined $10,000 for?
Yes, plus court costs, which were another $2,500.
Right, and what did you do?
On April 25th of 2021, I attended Easter service at the Church of God in Elmer, which is in Ontario. This church that has been standing up, always kept their doors open, has been very vocal about everything going on, just an amazing community they have created there. It's quite an incredible space. So I attended Easter Sunday service at this church on last year. Mm-hmm.
And for that, you got fined $10,000.
Yeah, so it was myself, two political, like, government personnel that have been speaking out as well, an officer that has been speaking out. So the four of us were brought on stage just to thank. It was this beautiful gesture of just thanking us for, you know, being strong and brave and standing up against, you know, all that, you know, the tyrannical measures that were in place. And so because I was on stage, the event was being live streamed and there was officers sitting across the road watching it to try to see if they could find out, you know, any individuals that they could present with a summons and charge. And so this charge was, as I'd mentioned, going against the Reopening Act of Ontario. They labeled me as not just a participant, but an individual leading the way. And because of that, I was found guilty and charged $10,000 plus the court costs, which are now up to, it's $12,500 Canadian dollars. So this is just for attending an indoor church service in Canada last year.
That's, you know, I get speechless because this is, it's insanity. This is insanity. Not that 2021 or 2020 wasn't insane enough as it was, but this is for going to a place of worship. You're fined $10,000 plus court, the cost of the court handling this.
Yes.
But you have a fundraiser for this. Is that correct?
I do. Yeah. I set up a Give Send Go account because I was self-representing at this time. Because to be honest, we know that these charges were illegal. They go against our Charter of Rights, our fundamental rights, human rights, like everything. So I wasn't expecting them to carry it through the way they did. So I self-represented. This is now the outcome. So I have set up a Give Send Go account to raise money to appeal the fine and to help with my other trials that are coming up in the next month and a bit. So because I still have five more trials to go through. So people have been incredibly generous and just overwhelming support in helping me. I was able to retain counsel. They have filed an appeal and we should be putting out an official update soon once it's all, once we have the file number and everything's officialized, we can get the statement out and keep people updated on the proceedings.
So you have five more of these coming up. So how do you prepare for these five? Like, how would you do it differently this time?
This time I am going in with legal representation, I believe. So we're hoping to kind of have more grounds to stand on, and we'll just continue to fight for our charter rights. It's interesting because what they used against me in court was a court case that unfortunately lost. It was another church that was fighting for their charter of rights. They lost and are also now appealing. But the courts stated that, yes, your charter of rights were infringed upon, but with reasonable cause, the infringement is allowed. And to me, this is incredibly scary that enough people don't realize what this means. What is reasonable cause? Who gets to decide what is reasonable cause? Is there a definition? Is there parameters in place? Like, what is that? Because now we know that our Charter of Rights are allowed to be violated, and this is stated in the courts, as long as someone states there's reasonable cause. And there's no definition to what this means. And I think this is an incredibly slippery slope that whether you don't believe in, you know, those speaking out or their stance, this will affect every Canadian moving forward on other matters, because reasonable cause for what grounds? It's a very scary stance to be in or place.
It is, and we see this happening not necessarily in the way that it's happened to you, but we see this vague text being presented into bills and laws being used in a court system. So we have a law in Australia that's pretty much putting public confidence in front of the doctor-patient relationship. And in California, we see now that this is what they want to happen. I don't remember the number of the bill, but I believe that we have it, so Dan can show that on screen. They are labeling misinformation regarding COVID-19 as misconduct. And that means that they can take away a doctor's license in California for speaking against the public narrative of COVID-19. So they want to put vaccination, COVID-19 vaccination, into the children's vaccine program, right? They want to make that happen. Yeah. And when they make that happen, if a doctor then suggests not to take these vaccines, is that misinformation? Can you then lose your license? Like, what is going to happen to the confidence in the healthcare system and your relationship with your doctor and the relationship to court in your case, when you have all these vague statements that can be, you know, like you said, who's going to define this? Who's defining what's...
Exactly.
So do you think that, what do you see in Canada? What do you see happening forward? Because you've been under so much pressure these past years, more than many of the countries here in Europe. But do you see things going back to the great nation that you were before all of this happened? Like, how do you see yourself and the world for your, like, the future for your children going forward?
Yeah, not anytime soon. So there's been, to me, I see like a huge blessing in all of this. I think a lot of Canadians just took for granted our, you know, I'll say free nation. That was the guys that we, you know, were under, that we believed in. You know, it was easy. We've been blessed in Canada. It's a youngish country. Like, we haven't had any experience of really, you know, any war or any kind of, you know, attacks or anything in our country. So, like, so many of us don't even, you know, have any recollection of what that even means. We've been very comfortable. We've had many conveniences. And we've just complied to everything that's going along, you know, this peaceful Canadian country. And I don't think we've realized just how long all this has been in effect, you know, with socialism and what that actually means, with, you know, like, trying to pay for everyone's healthcare and pay for this and all, you know, these taxes and just the comfortable lives we've all been living. So I think we've been, you know, on this path for a long time, with many of us not even realizing it. So with the past 2.5 years, it's kind of like stopped us, got us all to like wake up and say, hey, we don't want to continue this road anymore. This is leading us into destruction. And now we've had the opportunity to change paths, to change the trajectory. And so I do have a lot of hope for my kids, because I've seen so much good come out of this. Right now you can see I'm in my car, because I'm parked outside of this place called the Living School. My children are in this outdoor program. Right now they're outside planting garlic for, you know, it's fall here. So planting garlic, learning about plants, you know, the earth and nature, and getting dirty. They're outside. And this program came in the last 2 years, put together by a couple moms who just felt the need to create a difference. And I'm seeing this happen all over the place in Canada, communities forming, new programs forming for our kids, new opportunities. So I do have a lot of hope for where we're going, but I think it's still going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of people standing up, speaking out, and making the sacrifices to make these changes, because none of it's going to come easy. We all have to go against the grain. It's going to come with sacrifice, but in the end, I see it being worth it. So I'm excited that we've had this opportunity to change course. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the words of hope and joy, really, and it makes me very happy to hear you say that. But on the other hand, like, we know that Trudeau now is under a public investigation for what he did last year. But I don't know if it's, I assume that Canada is a lot like Norway. When we compare ourselves to a nation in America, Canada is the one that we compare ourselves to, because we have a lot of similarities in politics, really. But is this investigation, is that Trudeau investigating himself? Is he gonna, you know, will he be put in, made responsible for what he did using the Emergency Act? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I spent 3 weeks in Ottawa during the convoy. I was there every day from the beginning right till the bitter end. I stood on the front lines facing down those officers for 2 straight days. pretty much face to face. It was one of the most beautiful moments I had ever experienced in Canadian history, you know, in my lifetime. Just, it was just this sense of community and finally Canadians coming together and working for this common cause. And what Trudeau did to peaceful protesters just completely just killed any innocence or false beliefs I might have had about our country, that, you know, these things can happen right here in our nation. And so I think a lot of truth is coming out during these inquiries. They're going to be going on for, I believe, 6 weeks, you know, the public inquiries. And there is truth coming out that the Emergencies Act was never needed. It was unnecessary. The convoy was not a terrorist group. It was just peaceful Canadians trying to just stand up for their lives and, you know, get some answers and make a statement. But I don't know at this point, to be honest. I think everything falls on public opinion and what the grassroots are going to do. And so that's why, you know, I'm not naive in realizing how hard the next several years are going to be. Right now, we're heavily pushing climate change now. So we know that, you know, they've put lockdowns in place. They can pull these out at any moment again. What my hope falls on is that people are willing to make change and people are shifting and finding solutions. And that is what we saw during the whole time of the convoy, that people, every time they tried to put an obstacle in front of us, there was a solution found. Will Trudeau be found accountable? I think eventually he will be. Will it make a difference? I don't know, because who's coming in next after him? Will he be the same? Will it just be, you know, someone else with a different name, just, you know, changing another narrative? It's hard to say. It'll be great to see him held accountable. But what long-term change does that do? It still comes down to public opinion and people making changes from the grassroots level. We can't expect to be saved from our politicians.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen, I think. No. that's not where we're at in the world. But
no.
Yeah, the grassroots, you say. So do you find from the beginning of 2020, there was, I guess, a lot of disagreement in the grassroots about what was happening. Have you seen a shift in Canadian people throughout these two past years? How is the grassroots now in terms of polarized, or are more people waking up to what really happened? How is the opinion of the grassroots right now, in your opinion?
Yeah, there's definitely a shift. I would say the convoy really helped awaken people and just bring people out of their shell to recognize, hey, these are everyday people. These are everyday people making a stand. It was just so visible, so impactful. It was just too hard to ignore. And people were commented before pictures or done anything on their social media, were sharing pictures of themselves, whether they're, you know, participating in the convoy or on an overpass or whatever it was. I think more people got to see a little glimpse of truth and a little bit of like, oh, this person thinks that way, or this person believes in this way. There's also a lot coming out now with the injections, people realizing, you know, that it's never ending. They might have complied to get their lives back and now it's nonstop. So there's definitely a shift. People are tired. People are tired of being ruled, of governed, of being told who they can see, when they can see them. They just want to live their lives and get back to whatever, you know, normal is to them. You know, I think that can be kind of that statement. Definition of normal can be changed in so many different ways now. I feel like the elites have definitely kind of turned that word into something else. But I think there's definitely a shift, and I think we have a lot more to do. I am hopeful in conversations that I am having and seeing that people are more open to discussing and learning and kind of bridging that divide that's been created over the last 2.5 years.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Okay, Kristen, is there anything else that you want to add about your experience throughout these two past years? Before we
before we say goodbye.
Yes.
I think I'll just touch on quickly our nursing battles just for a quick update. So there are three of us that spoke up early in 2020, and we are the ones under three different investigations. Some of those have been coming to a head now. One of our nurses had an unfavorable court hearing. She sent in 40 pages of evidence, and they said because they're just giving her a caution, which means they're not trying to take her license, but they want her to enter a re-education program that's paid for out of her pocket. So it's like $3,000.
Excuse me, what's a re-education program?
So the re-education program is basically saying, you know, that we've been misled, we've been providing misinformation, and we need to be kind of like guided back into proper nursing evidence, I guess, you know, to bring us back into indoctrination, basically, just, you know, further indoctrination. So this is what I myself received. We're saying no. They want us to pay for this course out of pocket as well. And it's about $3,000. One of our nurses has gone this route already, and she submitted about 40 pages of evidence to back up the statement she had been making. Because they said that they're offering us this opportunity to keep our license, they don't need to review the evidence. And so therefore, her case was dismissed, and she owes the college their court costs of $17,500. So almost $20,000 in court costs. We are appealing this. Our other nurse, Sarah Shajunian, she's the co-founder of Canadian Frontline Nurses with myself. She's facing a 7-day trial starting early November, so in just under 2 weeks, where they are trying to put her under disciplinary action and take her license. So they're trying to revoke her license. It's a 7-day trial with expert witnesses. It is a massive, massive case and will set huge precedents. And that myself is next after this one. And so what this means is this isn't just our personal battles. This is a battle against medical ship. It's about, you know, speaking out against harms, the ability to do so. It's about, you know, protecting our whistleblowers. It's about, you know, providing, you know, evidence, you know, and speaking, you know, free speech, and nurses to be able to do their jobs, which is education, which is providing evidence, which is informed consent, and which is speaking out for the public and protecting them. And these are all the things that we're doing. And if these cases are lost, that sets the precedence for anybody in the future to be able to speak out against harms and to protect the public. Therefore, it just will continue to, you know, step in line, follow the orders, follow the policies, and that's it. And that's what they're creating, is just order followers. So this is a huge case that will set the precedence for nursing and medical censorship moving forward.
Kjære ser, hvis alle 5,000 seerne som ser på vipser 10 kroner, sikrer dere DokTV-budsjettet i en halv måned. Om alle 5,000 seerne vipser 20 kroner, sikrer dere DokTV i en måned. Så lenge vi jobber sammen og alle bidrar, om så bare litt, så kommer vi en lang vei. Det hviler på oss, altså på deg og meg, å sørge for at sannheten kommer fram. Og at Document bevarer sin rolle som det medier egentlig skal være, en vaktbikkje. Uten dere så klarer ikke vi det. Og uten oss så sitter dere igjen med medier som løper myndighetenes ærend. Vips til 638941, 638941, fordi ditt bidrag gjør en enorm forskjell.
This is a huge case that will set the precedence for nursing and medical censorship moving forward. So we're just, you know, we're praying and we're hopeful that, you know, we will see vindication. But just if anybody would like to follow along and stay updated, we do have a legal tabs option, like tag down on our website. You can follow along at CanadianFrontlineNurses.ca. Mm-hmm.
And you also have a funding page for this, right?
So we're trying to keep everyone up to date with what is going on with our legal battles. So you can follow along at CanadianFrontlineNurses.ca/legal battles. And there's a drop-down tab that will take you there as well that you can find for more information, and we'll continue to update it as we have more information to do so. So we really appreciate the support.
People can go support you and fund your legal battles as well, right?
Yes, and on that page, there's an option at the bottom on how to financially support us, or send prayers or encouragement. But there is options there on how to help financially with this huge case. Mm-hmm.
We wish you the best of luck, and we're gonna keep our viewers updated and welcome you back on a later occasion, Kristen. So thank you so much for coming on the show today, and best of luck in the next couple of months.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.